The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Independent Senator Michael McDougall joins me on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Clare.
You have an interesting take and an interest in one-off housing, which you've been writing about for the Irish Times this week. Can you lay out your view, set out your position on it?
But what I'm saying is that a lot of people have a genuine reason to want to live out of cities. Lifestyle, family considerations, choice as to the kind of family life they want to have for their kids and the like. People do want to live in places other than in villages and towns, and there's a kind of an orthodoxy which is kind of official orthodoxy that it's better that people live in villages and towns because it's cheaper to provide them with services and they're closer to shops and doctors and schools, and therefore there's less transport involved, and therefore, you know, that one-off rural dwellings are a bad idea. Clustering people in villages and towns is a good idea, and there are arguments on both sides going both ways. I'm not some kind of libertarian theorist who thinks that anybody should be allowed to build a house wherever they want.
Yeah, Brendan O'Sullivan often addresses this topic as well. He's a senior lecturer at University College Cork's Department of Planning, and he talks about how expensive it is and difficult it is to provide infrastructure for one-off housing. It is part of the reason, often cited, why our electricity is so high.
Well, I mean, I don't believe that the present network of electricity needs to be vastly expanded to relax the rules in relation to one-off housing. I mean, for instance, I have a holiday home on the Shannon, and there are many people who live on the same road as me who are living in family homes full time. And I mean, those people, you know, the infrastructure is there. And the roads are there, and people are now doing, I believe, entirely artificial calculations saying, well, what's the cost of the road? Well, I mean, what's the cost of Metrolink? What's the cost of the Port Tunnel? What's the cost of high-rise apartment blocks in Dublin, which are massively expensive? You know, they're 500,000 or 600,000 each to build when the local authority purchases them under the planning acts.
I just wonder, when we look at this, is there a perception that there is a big problem when it comes to people being refused planning permission for one-off houses? Because I was taking a look at the figures last night. 2025, 16.7% of all new homes built in Ireland were one-off houses. Like, that's a substantial subset of all of the properties built, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I'm not suggesting that there's a total freeze on it. But what I am suggesting is that there's a kind of an academic stroke planning stroke governmental view that it really would be better if people didn't live, say, in a one-off house in rural Ireland. And it would be better if that family were to live in a village or town. And the point I raised in the article is, you know, if you said to those people, here's a swap, I can put you into a town or a village. Most people in those houses would say, absolutely not. I'm very happy where I am.
Mm-hmm. What about social isolation? Do you think that that is an issue?
Well, there's two aspects to social isolation. In rural Ireland, and the GAA have been very vocal on this, you know, declining rural populations are leading to a diminution in social activity. You know, it's harder and harder to field a football team. It's harder and harder to get a community together because people are, in fact, migrating to towns to for various reasons. And I mean, for another thing, Claire, is that people are now claiming that the rural broadband scheme is a cost which we're all bearing to keep people in rural Ireland connected to the internet. Well, I mean, you can make that argument, but on the other hand, is there something wrong with a family in rural Ireland being able to have access to the internet and to social media.
I think we all shared the cost of the bank bailout too, and I think people would rather probably pay for broadband for somebody in rural Ireland than for the banks. So you'd probably have agreement on that one. But what about public transport? I mean, I know you said that people are happy to have their cars and that isn't an issue for them. But it is true though, isn't it? To try and serve one-off housing with public transport is very, very difficult. I mean, if you have houses in clusters, it's much easier to do that. If you think even at the basic thing, like the school bus, for example.
Yeah, well, I mean, I made that point in the article that school buses are an extra cost in rural Ireland. But on the other hand, you know, cars are also regarded by a lot of the, and I'm not being political here, but the green lobby and the environmentalist lobby as being kind of bad things, necessary evils, because at the moment I think they're driven by hydrocarbons. But imagine if they were all electric. What is wrong with people having cars? They are immensely liberating. The fact that you can go and visit your granny without having to take taxis and buses and trains is a huge liberation for many, many people. And I mean, there's an unspoken lobby, which sometimes I feel, and I don't want to exaggerate, wants us to live like hobbits, you know, that we all go by bike and walking, and we live in a community, a 15-minute community. And in those circumstances, you've no need for a car.
Yeah, I think I'd quite enjoy being a hobbit if I could get everywhere I needed to get in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
That sounds lovely to me.
But Claire, you and I know, as people, as family people, to do your week's groceries, you need a car. I mean, you can't really stumble onto a bus festooned with bags and all the rest of it. To bring your kids to a Gaelic club where they're playing, that requires, you can't be going in taxis. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are so many practical things about cars which are good. And by the way, in rural Ireland, a car is essential for those who can drive. There's no doubt about that.
I'm fascinated to know how you became interested in this. I mean, did you see houses that are not being lived in when you were down west of the Shannon or wherever?
I have a house near Rooski in Roscommon and on the Shannon. And I mean, it did, more and more I became interested in the disused houses. I mean, they get grants, by the way, to do up derelict houses, in one-off houses. So, I mean, some of the policies which want us to go into villages, but they are actually giving, I mean, there are programs on, you know, cheap Irish homes on RTE is commending those who find run down derelict cottages and houses and put money into refurbishing them. So, I mean, the cheap Irish homes, sometimes the homes are in villages, but many of them are outside villages. And all I'm saying is it's a perfectly legitimate choice. If you want to live that lifestyle, you shouldn't be sat on by the state.
And is there evidence that people are being sat on by the state? To go back close to where I started on this one, because I think there is a narrative out there that no one's allowed to build a one-off house, but they are.
Well, you are allowed to build it in certain circumstances, but you're not allowed in other circumstances. I mean, there are many people who would love to buy a quarter of an acre near their family in rural Ireland from a farmer and to build a house on it. And they are told, no, you can't do that. Okay. Many, many people. And I mean, the fact that the applications are there is one thing. But I mean, the cost of land in city centres is huge. This is an issue maybe which would make your hair stand on end. I know of one very, very posh road in Dublin where a 1950s house was sold for 1.8 million. It was knocked down completely, and a new house, which I'd say cost the bones of maybe a million or 900,000, has been put up in its place. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, You know, it's 1.9 million for a handkerchief site on a posh road.
It's incredible.
You know, what kind of world are we building when that's happening?
Michael McDougall, thank you for talking to us. Lots of messages coming in on this. What about the environmental effects? One example, domestic wastewater treatment systems are a big pressure on our rivers. And another has an example of their son, who they say was stopped from building a house for his four children and his wife. He had a business growing veg for the local town. He lost his business because he needed to be there 24/7. He's now living in a different country. We have to sell to move to be near to him to help him, as he helps us too. Families need to be together for support. You can WhatsApp us this morning, 087 1400 106. Coming up next,
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.